for we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Deuteronomy chapter 32, let's look at verse 11. Deuteronomy 32, 11. Gathering more evidence as we see that this mystery, Babylon, its secret, is designed to trick you, appealing to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Exodus chapter 32, verse 11. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange god with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields, and he made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock, butter of kine and milk of sheep, with fat of lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat, and thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God. You see the trick there of the mother? Mystery. Do you think if you were to ask these people, do you know that you're sacrificing unto devils? No. They would just say they were sacrificing unto gods. God says they are sacrificing unto strange gods. In reality, they're sacrificing unto devils. See the trickery? Mystery. Babylon the Great, the mother. She's secret. She keeps it secret. But the reality is they sacrificed unto devils, not to God. To gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. There's a new god coming down the pike every day. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful and hast forgotten God that formed thee. So notice, these new gods, you're really sacrificing unto devils. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 33. Deuteronomy chapter 33, let's look at verse 22. Remember I told you to remember Dan? Do you remember it in the earlier lesson? I said, you remember Dan and this prophecy about him in Genesis 49. Then Deuteronomy 33, look at verse 22. And of Dan he said, Dan is a lion's whelp. He shall leap from where? Bashan. Don't forget Bashan. Remember, Bashan. Bulls of the breed of Bashan. Okay. Now I want to show you some amazing passages here. Go to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 9. I'm going to show you. Now Joshua was a faithful man. One of the faithful messengers. That's why he was allowed to go into the land. Despite what Hebrews 3:16 says and all of the satanic, corrupt, dung-filled, counterfeit Roman Catholic dung-filled Bibles that says everybody provoked the Lord and rebelled. No, they didn't. Joshua was faithful. So was Caleb. And the children 19 years old and younger went in. But in Joshua chapter 9, I want to show you something. Joshua, as faithful as he was, I got to watch this on time now because I got to run some passages. We're going to look at Joshua 9, Matthew 17, and 2 Peter. What time is it? 6 minutes. And we should be able to get it in. Okay, Joshua chapter 9. Read with me the entire chapter. Watch the mother really work in here. Very subtly. Joshua 9. And it came to pass when all the kings which were on this side Jordan, in the hills and in the valleys, and in all the coast of the great sea over against Lebanon, the Hittite and the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite heard thereof, that they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, look at this. They did work wilily. It's so hard for me to say that word. Wilily. they did work wily. Let's just leave it at that. It looks like wilily. Wilily. You know, like the Wile E. Coyote? Remember him in the Roadrunner in the cartoons when you're growing up as a heathen? Remember childhood and youth are vanity? I didn't know it, but it sure was. Child and youth are vanity, but remember the Wile E. Coyote always trying to trick the Roadrunner? They did work wilily and went and made as if they had been ambassadors. Look at, watch how they're trying to fool Joshua. And took So they're going to act like they're ambassadors and took old sacks upon their asses, that would appear to be, and wine bottles old and rent and bound up, and old shoes and clotted upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. They get this huge elaborate disguise to fool them. And they went to Joshua to the camp at Gilgal and said unto him and to the men of Israel, we be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league with us. See, does it look like they came from a far country because of all everything that they had on them was old? And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, now they weren't tricked right off the bat, they were suspicious. Watch this. Peradventure ye dwell among us. And how shall we make a league with you? You see, because they were told to destroy all these people, and they're trying to not get destroyed. And they said unto Joshua, we are thy servants. You see what the mother will do? Oh, no, she'll disguise everything, this mother. Because this is Satan right here trying to sneak his children into Israel and not get them killed. We are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, who are ye and from whence come ye? And they said unto him, now this is what they said, from a very far country thy servants are come because of the name of the Lord thy God. For we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and to Og, king of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth. Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, take victuals with you for the journey and go to meet them and say unto them, we are your servants. Therefore now make ye a league with us. They have, to the eye, it looks like what they're saying is true because everything looks old. Their words are matching what they look like, but they're lying. Verse 12, this our bread we took hot for our provision out of our houses on the day we came forth to go unto you, but now, behold, it is dry and it is moldy. And these bottles of wine which we filled were new, and behold, they be rent, and these our garments and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey. Watch this. And the men, that's Israel, took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. All they had to do was say, Lord, hold on there, guys. I know everything looks good. It reminds me of being a policeman when I used to stop people. And they would say, no, there's no warrant for me. That's not me. And they'd be calm as anything. I didn't believe it. I had to be verified down through dispatch. Is this true? As I ran their name. But these guys are just trying to fool them. And all Joshua had to do was ask counsel at the mouth of the Lord. You see, all you got to do to avoid all this fancy trickery from Satan and his wiles is go to the Bible. That's all you got to do. See that? Verse 15, and Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live, and the princes of the congregation swore unto them. Didn't go to the Bible. And it came to pass at the end of 3 days after they had made a league with them that they heard that they were their neighbors and that they dwelt among them. And the children of Israel journeyed and came unto their cities on the third day. Now their cities were Gibeon and Shephira and Beeroth and Kirjath-Jearim. And the children of Israel smote them not, because the princes of the congregation had sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. And all the congregation murmured against the princes. They had right to do so this time. But all the princes said unto all the congregation, we have sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. Now therefore we may not touch them. This we will do to them. We will even let them live, lest wrath be upon us because of the oath which we swear unto them. And the princes said unto them, let them live, but let them be hewers of wood and drawers of water unto all the congregation as the princes had promised them. So they're going to make them servants, thinking that everything's going to be okay. Even though they made them servants, Satan got his children mixed in with the children of Israel. Didn't matter that they were servants. Later on down the road, Israel wound up being their servants. You see? Just go to the Bible. Verse 22. And Joshua called for them, and he spake unto them, saying, wherefore have ye beguiled us? Oh, just like Eve in the garden. The serpent beguiled me. Wherefore have you beguiled us? You see the mother, it started in the garden with the beguiling of Eve. She continuously tries to trick and beguile people through what? The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Joshua, all that they looked and what they saw tricked them. You see that? And Joshua called for them, verse 22, and he spake unto them, saying, Wherefore have ye beguiled us, saying, We are very far from you when ye dwell among us. Now therefore ye are cursed, and there shall none of you be freed from being bondmen and hewers of wood and drawers of water for the house of my God. And they answered Joshua and said, Because it was certainly told thy servants how that the Lord thy God commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Therefore we were sore afraid of our lives because of you and have done this thing. And now, behold, we are in thine hand, as it seemeth good and right unto thee to do unto us do. And so did he unto them, and deliver them out of the hand of the children of And so did he unto them, and deliver them out of the hand of the children of Israel, that they slew them not. And Joshua made them that day hewers of wood and drawers of water for the congregation and for the altar of the Lord, even unto this day in the place which he should choose. What time we have? 13. Perfect. What I want you to see in this passage is no matter what your eyes see, and no matter what your ears hear, okay? I mean, if these people, motivated by Satan, these were Satan's children, were cunning enough through their wiles to beguile Joshua, who was doing so well and was so faithful, just to sneak in and get a foothold into Israel. Okay, we'll just be your servants. Yeah. Israel winds up, like I said, later down the road, totally demolished and being servants themselves. You cannot let this mother trick you in any way, shape, or form. Now, look at Matthew chapter 17. With that in mind, I want to show you two passages about no matter what your eyes see. Okay, now that was something that was a trick of the devil, okay? That definitely was a trick of Satan to trick Israel so that Israel would not destroy those people and would have them amalgamated and absorbed into Israel. So Satan accomplished two things. He got his children spared from the sword, and then he snuck his children through wiles and trickery into Israel's population amongst them, okay? Look at Matthew 7. Now that's so Joshua, they looked and what they saw with their eyes, okay? And what they heard with their ears, they believed. They did not seek counsel at the mouth of the Lord. Same thing applies today. No matter what you see, no matter what you hear, for we walk by faith, not by sight, and your faith has to be in this book. You go to the scriptures to see what's real. Okay? Let me give you a great biblical illustration of that. Matthew chapter 17, look at verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them, and said, Arise, and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man, until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. Now, an amazing thing here about this. Go with me. This was a good thing. Peter, James, and John go up to the Mount of Transfiguration. The Lord Jesus Christ gives them a foretaste of that kingdom glory that's going to be coming when he sits on the Mount, when he returns to the Mount of Olives and sits on that throne in Jerusalem. They see him transfigured before their eyes into that kingdom glory. And this was a good thing. I mean, this was what they saw with their eyes was good. You see, now think. It's very easy to understand that what Joshua saw and the leaders of Israel back then, what they saw with their eyes and heard with their ears was a trick of the devil, okay? And it was evil, and it accomplished evil, and Satan won that day, okay? It's easy to understand why they should have sought counsel at the mouth of the Lord then and not believe their eyes or their ears, because it was evil. Right here, though, is something different. The Mount of Transfiguration is something very, very good. And Peter, James, and John were eyewitnesses of this majesty that the Lord Jesus Christ reveals unto them and a foretaste of that kingdom glory. And it was good. They heard the voice from heaven. They saw with their eyes that transfiguration. So they had an opposite kind of experience, although and albeit it was still with their eyes and their ears. But it was good, whereas Joshua's experience with his eyes and his ears was evil. Okay, and they didn't seek counsel at the mouth of the Lord. Here was a good example. But watch what Peter says about this in 2 Peter chapter 1. This is amazing to me. This is absolutely amazing. 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 16. When Peter recounts the Mount of Transfiguration, watch what he tells you about his experience. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And he's talking about the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. Now Peter says we heard this voice and we saw this. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty and we heard it. But look at what Peter says. Even though what Peter saw with his eyes was good and heard with his ears was great. Look at verse 19. Peter says he has something that's even better than his eyewitness experience. Verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Isn't that phenomenal? Isn't that phenomenal? Peter says that even though we saw the Lord transfigured before our eyes, we are eyewitnesses, Peter, James, and John, and we heard God Almighty's voice from heaven, we have something that is more sure than our experience on the earth. Something that is more reliable, something that is more of an anchor that you can sink your soul in, and that is that book. You see that? So just like Joshua did not seek counsel at the mouth of the Lord when he was tricked by Satan, even though Peter did not need to seek counsel, because what he saw was righteousness and was good, Peter still says we still have something that is better than our own experience. Better than our eyewitness of the Lord Jesus Christ transfigured into glory and heard the voice of God from heaven, we have something that is more sure, and that's the Bible. The King James Bible, of course, if you're English. The other ones aren't worth dung paper. But the King James Bible is more sure than any experience you will ever have. So in this mystery, Babylon the Great, how does that fit in this study? Real simple. Had Joshua simply gone to the Bible, he would not have been tricked. And there's an illustration that even when things are good, you need and always will have something more sure. The Scriptures alone is all you need. That's why 2 Timothy 3 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All right, well, anyways, you know, let's go back. We're in Joshua. Go back to Joshua chapter 23. Joshua 23. I don't think I'm going to have time now. I'm at the 22-minute mark. Joshua chapter 23. Let me take a look at it. You know, this book is so great. Hope you're all enjoying this. I know you are because you all tell me you are. Praise the Lord. Joshua chapter 23. Yeah, let's read it. Joshua chapter 23, the chapter. Okay, we can do it. Oh, man, my eyes itch. And it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. And Joshua called for all Israel, and for their elders, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age. And ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you, for the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from Jordan, with all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you, and drive them from out of your sight, and ye shall possess their land, as the Lord your God hath promised unto you. Be therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left, that ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them, but cleave unto the Lord your God as ye have done unto this day. Reminds me of Romans 12. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. For the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong. But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you, as he hath promised you. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God. It's shame that that's a commandment. It should just be the most natural thing you should do. Verse 12. Else if you do in any wise, go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you. You don't want to mix marriages with unbelievers. Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Therefore it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things until he have destroyed you from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. When he have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and you shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given unto you. What a shame. Chapter 24, look at verse 1. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and called for the elders of Israel, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nachor, and they served other gods. Look at that. Abraham's father was an idol worshiper. Go figure that one. No wonder he told Abraham to get out of his land and of his kindred, and get out of there. All right, verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen to that, huh? And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way when we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore we will also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, You cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, Nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, Ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you, the Lord, to serve him. And they said, We are witnesses. That's what they said. Now look at this. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you. Duh. I mean, they had strange gods among them as they were saying this. And incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. Okay, I'm running out of time. Listen, praise the Lord. Listen to me closely. Tell your friends, tell everybody about this truth. Spread it around the globe. You have access to things. You believe this stuff. You speak it. You tell everybody. Because aren't you happy that Christ in me has told you? All right. Praise the Lord. Seek out of the book of the Lord and read. We'll see you tomorrow. And we start in the book of Judges. Phenomenal stuff in there.